Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime or whatever other random stuff we happen to think about. Just a quick reminder, we are an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm back, and I'm joined by my co-host, Austin. Hey, Austin.
I'm also back.
You're back. Yeah, we took a break for a week.
What did you do during your week-long break?
I was on a jet plane. I flew somewhere out of town.
And how was that trip?
It was fine. I went to, just for everybody to know, I went to Salem, Massachusetts over Halloween. I went to the spooky capital of the USA. It was pretty fun.
Were the Sanderson sisters there?
There was a lot of Sanderson sisters there, oh, okay. Actually. You should have seen it. Oh my goodness. There were so many cool costumes. People are so creative. There's a lot of like buskers and people out on the main Essex Street area, and it was overall really cool. It was super crowded, but a lot of cool history there in that town. Very sad history, but very interesting as well.
Do you hear the ambulance going by?
I don't.
Okay, they have knocked out all of the trees that were in my complex that shielded me from the interstate. And now, every single thing that ever happens on that interstate, you hear it loud and clear in my condo.
It is so sad what happened to your entrance way there.
Yeah, it's just all those trees are gone. The deer, they're all gone. I don't know where they went. They're gone.
That breaks my heart. I don't even know. I know. So, changing gears totally. You had gotten a notice a while back, maybe like a year ago
or something. It's been a saga. This has been quite the journey. It's not even close to even starting.
I still don't understand the reasoning for why they are doing what they're doing.
I think the rumor is they're making one of those stupid elevated roads over the highway.
Oh no, right there?
Right here, where I live.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so for everybody who doesn't know, Austin's entrance to his condo, apartment, housing area runs parallel to a major interstate that we have in town. And there's like one sound barrier wall, but basically you're driving parallel to the highway when you're driving down the surface street. And then at the end of the road, it basically ends and turns into this like neighborhood. There was a bunch of trees.
I did not realize those trees were doing the God's work of canceling out all the noise, but they were. Who would have thought?
Well, the sound wall runs past.
Until you get to the trees. Street,
until you get to the
trees. And now the trees are gone.
Yeah, so there's nothing blocking that. And so now you're basically right up against the highway because the highway runs right past you. And now they're going to build a road right there. People's houses are right there.
I know.
That's egregious. That's a crime against nature.
Let's just say we live in a major metropolitan area that is notorious for its horrible decisions when it comes to transportation and public highways.
Our Department of Transportation is run by a bunch of clown people.
That's why we vote.
I try. Okay, good news, though. I know we always say we're not going to do this, but we always pivot back into politics. Some major wins on the left side of the ticket this past couple weeks.
I have to do a runoff next month. Don't let me forget.
Okay, I'll try not to.
Yeah. Josh and I live in the same jurisdiction, so if he does it, I'll do it.
Yeah, you guys have the same ticket. I don't. I live in a different area, so I get a different set of people if that. I don't think that I'll have a runoff, but.
Can I just say I told you there was going to be a runoff? I predicted it.
You did. You did say that, which make sure to go back and vote. Don't get voter fatigue. And if this applies to you as well, make sure you're voting in all your local elections. It's very important. That's my political PSA of the day. It's very important to go out and vote. And also, I know I say this. I can't personally say I've done this, but Josh has done this. He has volunteered to be a poll worker before. So if you are able to do that, it's very good to do that. Be a poll watcher if you can't be a poll worker.
What is a poll watcher?
They're people who stand around the voting area to make sure there is no misconduct. Like, people aren't.
Well, what would you do if there's misconduct? Confront someone?
I mean, I'm sure you could call your local police or something. I don't know exactly the rules, but I know it's important to participate in your local election. So if you can or are able to do that, please do that.
Poll watcher. Poll watcher sounds like someone who's like in the production of a porno, but they're like behind the camera. You're the poll watcher.
The poll. Is that like the fluffer?
Well, that person's involved.
But sort of. I mean,
well, they're not on camera.
Oh my God. Involved. Okay. How did we get onto this? Jesus, it was me. It was my fault.
No, it was me. I started it.
Okay, so aside from that, I had a busy week. I was out of town traveling. I hope everybody else had a really great Halloween. I know this is coming out in a couple weeks after, but since we were out last week, you didn't really have any activity on Halloween.
Nope. I don't know. I don't know what I've been doing with my life for the last several weeks. I don't know where I've been. I guess I've been playing Legends EA.
Yeah, how's that been going? I know I've asked Austin, I'm like, what have you been doing since I've been gone? And nothing really, I guess, except for that. But how is ZA going? Like, what would you tell everybody now that you've had some, like, a month of hands-on time?
I've rolled credits. I'm in the post-game that I think is really boring, because I guess the post-game is the DLC, which is coming out earlier than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, we just got a trailer recently, and they said, what, it was December 10th, am I right? Or is that wrong?
I don't know if I can afford it. How much does it cost?
Yeah, how much is the DLC? I don't think they said. Hold on, let me see.
$15.
$14.99.
That's not as bad as I thought.
December 10th is the date.
Okay, I'll get it on December 10th then.
Do we have any thoughts on... I know I haven't played ZA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still waiting. I think I am. I know I've talked some shit, but I think I'm going to get it for myself for Christmas.
Oh,
yeah, I mean, I've watched a lot of people play it. You've talked about it. Am I completely thrilled about everything in the game? No, but I think I was a little hasty. And I will take the L. I will say I was a little judgy at first. I think I'm going to get it. It looks fine.
You got to make sure you don't fall for the internet hive mind.
I think the problem is it's hard to judge something unless you play it yourself. I mean, you can look at critic reviews. And this is the same for like movies or anything or food or wherever, restaurants. You can go out and, you know, see, oh, what people say about it, but without experiencing it yourself, how can you form an opinion? I don't know. Maybe that makes me a hypocrite, but I did see it from your perspective, and I did watch you play it, and it looks okay. It's not the best. There are criticisms I think are fair when people say that it needs some things, but overall, it doesn't look to be a bad game.
I like Legend Arceus significantly more at the end of the day. I mean... it's fine. It's what I expect from a Pokemon game. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It's not setting my world on fire.
How is the fact that it's set entirely in the city?
I saw someone online said they should have... because, okay, Lumio City is set up into different districts, each named after different colors.
Sure.
They should have made each district more visually distinct from one another.
Oh.
I think that would have gone a long way to make it feel a lot less samey.
I did see that. I've been watching, outside of what I watched you play, I have been watching other people's little videos. And I haven't been going too far into it because I don't want to be spoiled by story stuff. So I basically just watch the first, you know, hour of whatever people play, kind of like a demo. But when they do go into the different districts, it's like, what, the Rouge District, Vert District.
And it's all the same, like, gray-blue palette everywhere you go.
That's such a bummer. That's such a good idea, though. If they had made, like, the roads a different color, or at least had different accents of things that would differentiate the different districts, that would have been really cool.
Like, I don't think of Paris as drab in all one color. You know what I mean? Like...
That's a good point as well. Like, see, these are the kinds of things that I think are valid in the terms of the criticisms. Like, you can defend certain aspects and be like, it's a great Pokemon game. The battling is awesome. The characters are cool or whatever. But when it comes to certain things that would have just elevated it a little more, it would have done it a lot of justice and made it stand out a little bit.
Oh, well.
I guess, okay, I will say that when I look back at videos of Scarlet and Violet now, and then I look at, like, ZA, I'm like, wow, that's a world of difference. I know you said you teared up at the end.
Yeah, because I'm a baby.
A baby. So, okay, let me ask you one final thing. As far as, I know it's a Legends game, so maybe it's not exactly fair to compare it to, like, I know it's a mainline game, but... how would you consider the writing and the story to be? Better, worse?
Keep in mind, I always grade on a curve when it comes to Pokemon stuff like this, because I'm not the target demographic. I really enjoyed the humor and, like, the silly situations you got yourself into. I think they excel at their best when they're being silly. I think that's where they really are having a good time.
I've seen some writing, like, examples. People are like, this is unhinged. And it's actually been really funny.
Yeah.
I will say. I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting that kind of humor out of that.
Yeah, it's got that, like, kind of Paper Mario vibe.
Yeah.
But, you know, nothing to write home about. But, you know, it's cute.
It's a Legends game. So, I guess I wish that they would have kind of gone a little bit more, like, mature.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
I know. It's never going to happen. You're probably asking yourself, well, what does that mean, Alex? Like, what do you mean more mature? Like, what do you even want to see?
Maybe you should try different things that aren't Pokemon, for instance.
Yeah, that's true. I think you get in trouble when you try to apply things that you'd like to see based on other games to Pokemon. Like, Pokemon's always going to be Pokemon. Like you said, I think we're asking too much in a sense of, like, they're never going to change their formula. I mean, they did try something different with Legends, but I guess I'm just curious where this is all leading in Gen 10.
I'm weirdly curious about the Xenoblade games now, because apparently this game's combat is based on those games.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
I don't know anything about the Xeno series or Xenoblade. I know Shulk from Super Smash Bros. That's about it.
I'm kind of curious about their game that their Game Freak is doing outside of this. I can't remember what it's called. I'm so bad. I should have looked it up beforehand. Do you remember?
No. Is it an Xbox thing?
Game Freak.
Game Freak's always been crazy shit.
Oh, Beast of Reincarnation. Sorry. It says it's scheduled for release in 2026, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think it's not going to be that. I think it's going to be 2027.
I mean, it's Game Freak. They tend to rush shit out. Remember that town game?
Oh, right. That was a flop.
That was like a tech demo, is my understanding.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I mean, it sounds like you've had a good time with the game. You've kind of beaten it pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. It's a short game.
Maybe I'll... I know I've kind of gone back and forth, and we've talked about this on this podcast, but do I think that the Switch 2 version is worth $70? Absolutely not. But for the eventual getting a Switch 2 that I know is going to happen some point in my future, do I just get that version now so I can play it on it later? I don't know. I'll buy it. But then again, maybe not, because I really don't go back to Pokemon games. I don't know.
I need to finish Heart Gold, Soul Silver. I need to beat Red. I never did that. Anyway.
Yeah, hey, you put that challenge to yourself a couple months ago.
My challenge was to beat the Elite Four, and I did that, just FYI.
You put that challenge to yourself and on this podcast, I remember.
Oh, I have another challenge I have to admit to failing.
Oh, no.
I will not be able to redo my guest bedroom. Alex looks so smug as I say this.
No, I don't. But what?
I simply cannot afford to buy new furniture at this time.
Look, nobody is judging you for not meeting a self-imposed New Year's Eve goal. Like,
I'm judging me. I don't have a spare $1,000 to throw out the window at the moment. I simply
who
don't.
The hell has that? Nobody.
I had to panic buy that PlayStation 5, you know? That was way more important.
Priorities.
Honestly, I have gotten a lot of hours of that, so.
Look, you know what? A PlayStation 5 is a little bit less than, hey, I have to redo an entire room. So we can circle back to that. There is no deadline for you having to rearrange your bedroom, so.
Meanwhile, as they put like a floating highway next door to me, it's like going to be impossible to have a decent quality of life.
As all the cars fly off of the highway and into people's houses.
They say if you live next to a highway, it affects your health because of the pollution.
That sucks.
Yeah. And did I get a good deal on this condo that I purchased? No. Are the interest premiums way too high? Yes. Is there an HOA that does nothing? Yes. Am I fucked royally? Yes. Pokemon!
Housing is a scam.
Everything's a scam. The banks are a scam. Okay, I'm going to get arrested. Let's do feedback.
Yeah, okay, so...
Thought crime is a crime in modern day. All right, how's the feedback going?
Yes, we've been out for a while, so Austin said there was some feedback that you all had given, so we are eagerly anticipating reading that out, which we will do now.
Here is an email from Ben in response to the fanfiction episode.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Okay, quote, I just listened to your Halloween-themed fanfiction episode to get into the holiday spirit. Alex should have more confidence. She writes great stories.
Oh, hey! This is so great. Thanks, Ben. That's a real ego booster right there.
I think our listeners are the grace to your May.
I know. You should believe in yourself. Stop this self-deprecating BS. Got it.
Okay, Ben also has some critiques and suggestions for our fanfictions.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I gotta let the wind out of my sails a little now.
He says, for yours, maybe you should have name-checked Blashalafon. How the fuck do you say that?
Blacephalon?
Blacephalon's signature move, Mind Blown. There was a plot point in the story tied to the game mechanic that Mind Blown also hurts the user. I'd never played Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, so I don't really know the details of this.
So Mind Blown hurts Blacephalon.
Apparently.
Can I defend myself a little?
Yes, you can. It needed a head.
I tried to allude to that in the fact that after it uses that move the first time, the illusion that it was maintaining for the circus, that it was populated and it, you know, vibrant, it disappeared. That's when she ran out and was like, wow, this place looks like it had been abandoned for decades. That was because it was hurt and it couldn't maintain the illusion anymore. And not that there was a reason to anyway, because it had captured them, but...
So you did use its signature move, you just didn't name check it.
Yes, somewhat.
Maybe. Oh!
Of course, okay, maybe I took a little bit of creative liberty because it's a short story loosely based on Pokemon. So maybe I didn't quite capture the game mechanics entirely, but I tried.
For my story, I didn't get all the anniversaries I could have used, such as the anniversary of Team Rocket murdering Cubone's mother. Alex literally just did a spit take.
I shouldn't have started sipping my water at that very moment.
Oh my god, that was a good visual. Another anniversary was Cyrus having his psychotic break and murdering his parents. Because he was raised by his grandfather. I didn't know that. Did you know he murdered his parents?
Wait, like Diamond and Pearl and Platinum Cyrus?
Apparently, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Is that a fan theory? Is that a Clefable and Gengar or Doppelganger theory? I've never heard this in my life.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. But then again, I will admit to this. And I'm sure you guys who have been longtime listeners of this podcast know by now. I don't get to the very end of most of the Pokemon games. I get really close, but never really get to the end.
Oh, maybe this is just... Maybe that's Ben's fanfiction.
Can you clarify, Ben? Can you clarify? Can you, like, help us out? Is that real? Like, is there something in the game? Because I don't remember that part. Didn't you play Brilliant Diamond all the way through recently?
Yes.
Did that come up?
I don't remember that.
Okay.
All right, so that's it for Ben. Awesome. Let's go on to Pokemon Megastar. Pokemon Megastar is defending Ash for getting in the middle of the Sviper and Zangoose blood feud because he didn't know there was a blood feud at first.
I still think that our criticisms of Ash in that episode were valid because he does butt in unnecessarily when he has no information. So I still think it's valid because whether he did know or didn't know, he still interjected.
Pokemon Megastar says, Richie has become a living paradox like the Reverse Flash in DC Comics. Which, questions, because I don't know shit about DC Comics.
And I know even less.
You know less. Okay, everything I know about The Flash comes from the CW show, The Flash.
God.
And that terrible movie where Ezra Miller threw babies into microwaves. I know
Excuse
that.
Excuse me?
No, believe it or not, Ezra Miller, to our knowledge, did not throw babies into microwaves in real life, just in a movie. But I would not be surprised if that also happened in real life. Anyway.
Is this where we get slapped down because of a defamation lawsuit? Maybe you should not say that.
Anyway, I don't know much about Flash or Reverse Flash. However, a friend might be gifting me a DC Infinite subscription for Christmas Ooh. This year. Is that what it's called? DC Infinite?
I don't know. Why is everything a subscription?
Oh, God, because it makes more money somehow, except it doesn't, because then Netflix tries to boot us all out. Yeah, DC Universe Infinite. So if anyone has any suggestions for what I should read to learn about The Flash, let me know.
Oh, wow. Is this your foray into DC now?
Yeah. I mean, I've touched on DC. Don't get me wrong. I got the gist, but I don't know the details of how Reverse Flash is a living paradox.
Do you remember, like, a decade plus ago when Injustice was, like, a big game?
I never understood why it was such a big deal.
I had that game. I still have it, actually. And I remember I used to play it. I think we played it. This was when we were in college.
Okay.
And we played that game. And so that literally is all I know about anything, which is really to say nothing because it's just a fighting game.
I know the comic version of Injustice was really popular for a while there. Interesting. That's all I know. All right, that's enough DC. Here are Pokemon Megastars MVPs and LVPs. For the Skitty episode, they're both Meowth because MVP for getting Skitty away from Team Rocket, but LVP because falling in love with a Skitty is weird.
Yep.
For the Zangoose Viper episode, MVP is Ash for biting Nikolai.
Biting him?
I guess when he was in a Viper, he was like LARPing that he was biting Nikolai. I don't remember that, but we should have paid more attention to that.
I don't recall that, but I will believe you.
LVP is James and Meowth for not being supportive of Jesse and Sviper. For the really shitty Surskit episode, MVP is the animation for Water Pulse because it looked cool. That is true, it did look cool. And LVP is Richie for being a living paradox. Austin, I have a question about the MVPs and LVPs. Are we going to get the results at the end of the Hoenn League or at the end of the Battle Frontier? Alex, we should discuss this.
Oh, okay. Live poll time.
For those who don't know, the Advanced Generation series is split into the Hoenn arc and the Battle Frontier arc. I would say, given that we split up Kanto and Orange Islands, we should split up Hoenn and Battle Frontier.
I agree.
Does anyone think, just let me know if you think so, should we be doing this at the end of the season instead of the end of the story arc? I think story arc makes more sense.
Yeah, because that's like the final culmination of like everything we've talked about.
All right, so that's the plan currently. We'll finish at the end of Hoenn.
Cool.
Moving on to the next episode. Pokemon Megastar says that Austin is attracted to celestial bodies and Alex is attracted to Transformers.
What is the context of that?
Because our initial responses to what inanimate object would you be attracted to was, mine was Mercury for some reason.
Wait, you said Mercury?
I just think it looks cool.
I don't remember you saying Mercury. Oh my God.
Well, you rejected that. You were like, no, Mercury.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember you said that. But then what was your alternate pick?
The library, which I kind of regret.
The library.
Yeah, I'm not. But look at how cool Mercury looks. Look at these pictures. I know they're artificially colored, but look how neat.
Oh, these are like false color images, though.
I know they're false color images, but I'm in love with the false color image of Mercury.
Okay, it does look cool.
Yeah.
I mean, basically anything having to do with space is cool.
Space is cool shit.
And, okay, Transformers. I'm in love with Transformers.
You're in love with Bumblebee.
Well, who can resist Optimus Prime's, like, deep husky voice?
Oh, yeah. I can't disagree on that one. I can't disagree on that
front. Megatron. I mean, come on.
Megatron, I've never been too big of a fan of. Is he the one that turns into a gun?
Who turns into a gun?
Someone turns into a gun.
What? Wasn't he a jet?
Was he a jet? Who turns into a gun?
Who was a jet? Oh, it says his alternate modes vary across different continuities.
Okay.
I'm looking this
We should
up
watch
now.
Transformers, Generation 1.
Oh. It's okay, according, I'm so sorry to do this, but I'm not digging into like all these websites. The AI overview. Megatron has many alternate modes depending on the version, but some of his most iconic are his iconic laser pistol, a tank, and a jet. He's also been a gargoyle, a dragon, and a T-Rex. What the hell?
Oh, that's cool. A gargoyle.
Okay, he was a gun.
I thought he was a gun.
But it says, often seen in movies and various series, his jet mode is sometimes used for a more minute. So we were both right.
Okay, great.
Also, my phone has 1%, so can I read the feedback I have real quick?
Go.
Ah! Oh my God, I need to get it to my other account. Woo! Out of the drying pan.
How does your phone have 1%? Oh, it's because your charger's fucked up. Your battery.
My battery's fucked up. Okay, this is from Liam. I have not responded yet on Instagram, but I will respond on this podcast. He says, the reason he hates the big story turn is because the dialogue has become so, for lack of a better phrase, Coco Melon-esque. I know it's marketed towards children, but 2 points on that. One, so were Gens 1 through 4, I think 5, 6, 2, but I didn't play those. And the dialogue was nowhere near as childish as has been of late. And two, while kids are still a large market, there is a legitimate argument that most of the consumers are still adults. I mean, there are a few IPs that people stay as attached to in adulthood as they do in Pokemon.
Well, we kind of already addressed that.
Was this... Okay, I'm pretty sure this was context when we were talking about ZA, maybe?
I think it's because I kind of, like, offhandedly was like, it's a JRPG. There's going to be a lot of dialogue, y'all. Like,
in regards to ZA?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's funny is I feel like I'm so inoculated by inane Pokemon dialogue from watching the anime that I'm just like, my sense of writing is completely skewed to be like, yeah, whatever, exposition,
I think,
whatever.
I think I agree with Liam to an extent. I feel like there has definitely been a shift between, and this is true of like all games. I don't necessarily know if Pokemon's definitely not the only offender, but you can definitely see a shift in how they hold your hand versus like early games. Like even watching through, and not to bring this back to critique of ZA, but based on what I've seen from like the demo and tutorials, there is a lot of hand holding, and basically the tutorial goes on forever versus like earlier games where they're just like, okay, here's the bare minimum. Now do what you want, figure it out. And they just basically tell you rather than showing you. And I don't like that in games. I don't like it when they constantly hold your hand and tell you stuff versus just let me figure it out and show it to me in a narrative sense. I don't know.
See, this is how you know I need to be comforted and babied. Because I'm like, yes, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do, Daddy.
Oh,
got weird.
Oh, my God. Step on me, Daddy ZA.
Ooh. Okay, so
that took a weird turn. Sorry to derail us, but I was like, I need to read this real quick before my phone dies.
What was kind of funny, I noticed in Legends EA dialogue, occasionally they would use a word where I thought, I don't know if a child would know that word necessarily, but I couldn't remember any specific examples.
Oh,
sorry.
I mean,
but I'm probably underestimating children, as I tend to do.
Here's the thing. I know this is, we are in a very different world now than we were in 1998, but when we were playing those games, and I know you're a little bit older than me, but that's kind of how I was practicing reading and learning things, is playing those games. To be fair and like honest with myself, was I probably button mashing through some of the dialogue? I'm sure. I was what, 6-7 years old? But that's how you were, like, learning, right? I mean, I don't know. I was a bigger reader back then than I am now.
Pogo Megastar has a question for us.
Okay.
And I don't know if we have time for this, but if you were in a Pokemon contest, what Pokemon would you use and what would your appeal route act be like?
Can we think about that and come back to
it? Can we table that for next time? Okay, let's do it.
Yes. I want to give the feedback homework questions the time that they deserve. So let's think about that this week, and then when we record next week's episode, we will have an answer for you.
Okay, for the first contest episode, MVP is Grace's Medicham for being pretty cool. LVP is Brock for being a shameless but ineffectual harasser of women. For the second episode, Beautifly and Dustox both get MVP for having good showings, and LVP is the Rainbow Machine for breaking so easily. And Pokemon Megastar points out, and I think this speaks to what we were saying, couldn't Jesse have made a rainbow effect by just using Psybeam on all of Dustox's moves?
If she was a legit... Well, how do I say this without bashing her? Because we love Jesse.
No, you can bash her. She's cheating.
Yeah, if she wasn't so caught up in the easy way and, like, taking the shortcut and cheating her way to victory, that's her fatal flaw. Like, they have the talent inherently, but they don't ever tap into their own abilities. So they just go to the cheating method and then ultimately get foiled. But if they really tried, I think they would be amazing. Like, we know that.
Don't you wish life was like that, where people who cheat and lie and steal were punished?
Oh boy, do I. Life isn't fair and there's no such thing as karma. I'm so sorry to say that.
Pokemon!
Okay. we have two episodes that we're going to just jump right in. The two this week were cheer pressure and game winning assist. Guys, I don't mean to be a downer on our first episode back from the break.
From 1 week of
break. From 1 week. I know it's been so long. I feel like we both have the same opinion. I didn't think these were great.
See, this is why I wanted to bundle these with the more exciting third episode. But we'll get there next time.
No, because what would have happened was it would have been overshadowed.
We would have been tired by the time we got to the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that episode's actually good. We'll find out next week. I don't know for sure. Flipping the coin. I'm doing the Flash Challenge.
Okay.
And you are doing the walkthrough, and I accidentally clicked on one of the pictures of Mercury, and it took up my entire screen. Hello. Oh, and I zoomed in on it now. Oh, hello, sexy.
Is there, like, a timer I can get on this computer because my phone is dead?
I just use Google.
How do you
Even though Google's Google? Evil, still. It's
How do you use Google?
Google Stopwatch.
Oh.
An application comes up.
All right, let me go to this.
I got to delete these pictures of Mercury. It's turning me on.
Oh, my God.
You know, I still don't exactly know what Mercury in retrograde means.
Oh, guys, when I was in Salem, I mean, it's like the witchy capital of the world. I should have picked up. There was a ton of, like, witchy shops, and a bunch of it had to do with, like, tarot and the planets and all this. I should have picked up the book that said How to Survive Mercury in Retrograde. And I'm not kidding. That's a real book.
I still don't know what that means. Its orbit is different. I don't know.
I don't either. Can somebody who knows about Mercury in retrograde, like, tell us? I think it just means, like, bad omens and stuff.
Both the scientific answer and the astrology answer.
Well, I'm sure the scientific answer is something like it's where the position in the sky and some stuff. And
Then
the astrology answer is bad
vibes.
Omens and vibes, yeah. Okay, I have a stopwatch, so okay. I'm going to use this and time you. Are you ready?
Yes.
3, 2, 1, go.
We meet Thatcher again with his Plustle and Minun, and hilariously the twerps don't remember him at first. But he has fallen from one commune to another MLM of some sort? It's like a cheerleading cult, and there's like this guy named Sheridan who is a racketeer, and he never suffers any punishment for his actions, by the way. And Team Rocket's there, I don't care about that. But Handy Andy makes an appearance, and Thatcher goes and dies.
Time. What?
This episode sucked ass. Well, actually, there were some good points.
Okay, well, you could talk about those good points, because they were few and far between, sadly. Although, okay, I think I'm being premature. I like the fact that we have some continuity.
This is not the continuity I wanted.
Okay, this is like some monkey's paw shit. Like, we wish for continuity, but not like this.
And we get Nikolai and Thatcher.
And we get the worst possible ones.
But no Grace. Grace doesn't come back.
Not the people you think would come back. Not the obvious, you know, narratively important people. But, like, the randos that we could never see again and be fine. But we get them, and that's what we have. So,
surely Thatcher is here because they are trying to promote Plustle and Minun as, like, the new Pichu. Like, a new mascot character or something to buy merchandise of.
Well,
but Plustle and Minun barely appear in these episodes, so they failed at that.
Yeah, and I know we're gonna jump into this, but the Pokemon that do have the focus later on are not Plustle and Minun.
They're barely in the episode. Why are they even here?
I'm sorry. If there's Plustle and Minun fans out there, that's really great. But as far as the Pika clones go, they are a pretty weak entry, in my opinion.
I would argue they're not necessarily the most distinctive Pokemon out there, but they have some interesting things going on. They're a team. They got the plus and minus thing going on. They introduced the concept of supportive moves and double battles. And Pichu aside, they're kind of the first try at a Pikachu clone. So they got a lot going on in their favor. I'll say that.
Yeah, maybe I'm being unfair. I really, really, like, and I think this is part of the reason why I love Gen 3 so much, is double battle. Like, that's the first time we were introduced to the concept of, like, a different style of battling. And to this day, I love a double battle.
I mean, it's like the default in the metagame.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I know we've had a lot more since then, like, triple battles and rotation battles and...
Oh, those sucked ass.
Austin's favorite thing in the world, sky battles.
I hate rotation battles more than I hate sky battles. I'll say that much.
Sky battles are nothing other than here's a battle in the sky. Like, there's nothing to it. But
yeah.
What other formats have we had since? Is that, like, it? Or am I?
I think that's it.
Am I missing one?
No. Y'all tell us all the things we forgot. I mean, you could argue the Legends battles are different.
I mean, like, battle styles in the traditional, quote-unquote, Pokemon games.
Yeah, sure.
As you guys probably are aware by now, we don't play competitive. We're dumb. And we're dumb. We can't even get the trainer's choice things. Like, we're so bad.
Yeah, more on that in a minute. All right. All right. Thatcher.
Okay. Yay. All right. So, this is an episode. Okay, so we're fresh off of May's first contest win. She's very happy. Max is sick and tired of it because he's the little brother and he can't stand it. May is incessant, but Brock is understanding and he's like, you know what? This is her first win. Let her have this moment. Like, if it was you, you would also be wanting to bask in that euphoric feeling of your first win. So don't, like, give her too much of a hard time. Meanwhile, Ash is like, forget that contest shit. That's in the past, in the rear view. I'm ready for my gym battle. And he's ready to get to Lava Ridge Town. But if I'm not mistaken, we still have a while to go.
You are mistaken.
Oh, I'm mistaken.
Yeah.
We don't have a while to go. Oh, my goodness. So we're almost to Lava Ridge then. Okay, great. Perfect. On their way to Lava Ridge, though, they hear some drum beats in the distance, very ominous, and they encounter a massive staircase, and at the top is some kind of, like, shrine area. And this was my first thought. Like, I thought we were going to have something, like, having to do with this, like a festival. My mind went to, like, annual festival. I don't know
why. Annual festivals are in the past.
I know. It's nothing like that. Rather, it's the site of cheering school.
Once again, our lack of knowledge of Japanese cheerleading traditions bites us in the ass because we don't know any of the vocabulary to speak on any of this.
I mean, honestly, at first glance, it's really cool. I did Google it because I was like, oh, what is those drums called? They're like the taiko drums. Yeah, it gave me Rillaboom vibes because that's the kind of drum that it uses.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, or based on. Oh, okay. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I said earlier, I don't go back to Pokemon games, really, but I have been playing Shield.
Yeah, that is a blatant lie. You always go back to random Pokemon games and then never finish them.
No, I'm really trying. I'm really trying, you guys. Anyway, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about Thatcher. He's here. Oh, my God. Could you believe it? Of all the characters that they could have brought back, it's Thatcher.
I like the implication that Thatcher has been, like, gunning it this whole time because he's right where they are.
Yeah.
They only saw him a short time ago.
We left him, if you guys don't remember, this was the kid from the Misty Village, no affiliation with our Misty. They had a lighthouse that was landlocked for some reason, and they worshipped, well, the kid anyway, worshipped Ash as, like, the hero of legend with the light stone that, like, we never really went anywhere with.
That episode was weird as fuck.
It was weird.
What was that?
And it's still weird because this kid is still kind of in his delusion of, like, Ash being the greatest ever of all time. And he explains, you said in the Flash Challenge that the twerps did not remember him. And it's so funny because they don't, but we do get sort of a flashback and they're like, oh yeah, you're the weird kid from before. And he explains that after his encounter with Ash for the first time, he went off to be a trainer on his own. And that just made me think about this whole being 10 thing doesn't mean a hill of beans anymore.
See, what's crazy is, I swear to God, remember Stephanie, the little girl with her dad who they had the Torchic evolve?
Stephanie?
Okay, Stephanie was the little girl, and she and her dad came to pick out a starter at the Slateport Pokemon Center.
Oh,
but the problem,
right,
was the Torchic evolved into a Combusken.
Got it. I remember.
We had a lot to say about the fact that Stephanie was visually younger than Ash and May.
Yeah.
Even though we are told Ash and May are 10. But they're not portrayed as 10. They don't look 10. Like, May especially does not look 10 years old. It seems as if they're acting like the Thatchers of the world are 10 and May and Ash are older. But that's not the case, but it seems like it.
See, I would believe that if Ash didn't look the exact same as he did when he was 10, like on the first episode.
Sorry, May's character design really throws me for a loop every time.
Yeah, it's not right. But I'm just at this point convinced that like anybody can do anything at any time because they are. Like, we've had the Stephanie episode, we had the Gilbert Mayer episode.
Yeah, he looked younger than Ash and May for sure. And he was explicitly 10.
Exactly. And now we have this Thatcher kid who is much younger visually. And then you have Max, who looks to be like Thatcher's age. And he can't go off. And like, he's constantly saying how he has to wait and he can't be a trainer.
But he's allowed to go on a journey. He can just leave home as long as his sister's there, seemingly.
But that was Norman and Caroline's logic, was that May was the trainer.
Bad parenting. Yeah.
You know, well, they just wanted to get them out of the house so they could go on their like swinger parties. Maybe we did talk about this. It sounds familiar, like we talked about it before, that this was like a rule imposed on Max by Norman.
Or maybe Max himself was like, it's got to be right. I got to wait till I'm 10.
Yeah. He seems like a stickler for like the rule. Maybe that was like repealed in legislation some time ago and he's just an old school. Like, he's like, I have to wait to 10. I'm 10, so. I don't know. Anyway, Thatcher is training. He's on a journey by himself. And clearly, this was a bad idea because he is swept up in the cult / MLM / whatever the hell this is.
What vocabulary should we be using for this thing that Thatcher has fallen ass backwards into?
This is like...
There's a term for it.
It's like that... I don't know. It's like a self-help guru. Like, you know, join my program. And I mean, think of any like scam, like where somebody's like, you know, for the low, low price of $100 a month, I can teach you how to be the best entrepreneur ever. You know, I don't know.
Right. It's classic. I think the recent examples that people are making fun of is like the Manosphere, be a real man kind of thing. Like pay me $10,000 and all. I'll make you a man. It's like the dumbest shit you've ever seen in your life.
I mean, there's 1,000 examples of this. Like, he's clearly peddling a service that is not what it's cracked up to be. And we'll see that.
And the service is cheerleading. Which, okay, I mean, like, okay. That's a sport. Cool.
In the sense of, like on its surface level, I can kind of see what they're going for. Like, you know, the power of support and, you know, cheering on. Like, you don't necessarily have to be front and center. You can utilize your talents to be a good support system. You know what it reminded me of? Did you ever see that movie Sky High?
No, I've not seen it.
Oh my god.
And it's not on Disney Plus.
It's such
and people a good love movie. It. It's like a cult classic.
It is a cult classic. But basically the premise of that is you've got the heroes. People have superpowers in this world. You have the heroes. They go to school. And then you have the sidekicks. And you either go into the hero class if your powers are good enough to be like front and center. Or if you have more like supportive powers or less powerful abilities, you become the sidekick. Okay, so that's kind of how I felt. Like, you've got the heroes. You've got the Ashes, you know, in the front lines. And then you've got the sidekicks, like the people in the back. Cheering him on.
I would argue cheerleading is an endeavor in of itself. It's like a whole thing. There's like organizations and competitions and everything. But yeah. This episode kind of pauses it as, and what can cheerleading do for Pokemon battling? Because that's like the only thing anyone in the world has ever focused on ever.
Well, the whole infrastructure is based on this, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, it went from, real quick, it went from like, oh, cool, cheerleading, to Max being like, but isn't that cheating because it affects Pokemon battling? It's like, wait, what? Who said anything about Pokemon? What are you talking about? I thought we were just cheerleaders.
Yeah, he was thinking about it from a Pokemon perspective, but then they say, no, it's about the human perspective and the cheering of it all, like, which does boost your morale, I guess, when you're in a battle. But maybe Max is not so off the mark, as we will see in a minute. So back to Thatcher. Thatcher explains that after he encountered Ash, he fell into this group and wanted to sign up for cheerleading school because that was his whole thing with Plusle and Minun, and he's not really a battler himself, but he's a good support, so this sounds right up his alley. Great, wonderful. He also goes on to explain that he was sort of scouted by this scary-looking man who runs this school, and he's like, hey, kid, I'm recruiting for my special school. And his name is Sheridan.
Sheridan?
Which I thought of the hotel, but whatever. I know it's the Sheraton, but his name is Sheridan, but...
If there's any character to keep their Japanese names, it's the ones that are like this, who are very clearly Japanese-styled, sure. But whatever. Not Sheridan.
And because I was thinking about Pokemon Shield, I was also thinking about Team Yell, because they're like a toxic fandom slash pep squad. So they're like a cheering squad, too. Anyway, Team Rocket's there. They're watching from the bushes. James is very excited, and we kind of get like a little blip into his background. He used to be on a cheer squad.
How pissed were you? We didn't see that.
I was really pissed. I wanted to know more, but we didn't get to see that. We have to take him on his word.
Was that dub-only dialogue or something?
It had to have been, right? Because, like, Jessie makes a comment, too. She was like, I bet you looked really good in your uniform.
Yeah, I wanted to see it. I want to see... was he wearing a skirt outfit, or was he wearing, like, one of those jacket things?
They have male cheerleaders.
Yeah, but was James not dressed like a male cheerleader? That's what I want to know.
I feel like it should be up to him what uniform he wanted to wear, but we won't know.
More information, please.
Yes.
About James as a mean cheerleader in high school. More info.
So sadly, we don't get a whole lot on that, but they also decide to go and pay Sheridan a visit because they want his help in winning battles. They're like, we are chronic losers. We have had nothing but 300 straight losses, and we are sick and tired of losing. Can you help us win? And I had to wonder, is the 300, like, based on the amount of episodes that we've had?
Ooh, I'm on it.
So far, is this around that amount?
Let's see what CRB.net has to say, because they keep an episode count of the total. Okay. Oh, yeah. According to CRB.net, this is episode 328.
So they are pretty close to being correct. Meowth said over 300, so there you go. So Sheridan, we automatically know that something's off with him at this point, because he doesn't offer, like every other character in the Pokemon world, to be like, yes, you know, I'll help you find your inner potential with seemingly nothing in return. He's like, I'll help you for a price. And that's total con man behavior, right?
Don't pay him for his services. The fact that they have Sheridan say, yes, but I'll need money, tells you everything you need to know, because this cartoon is a very weird, simplistic world, not anything like the real one.
Well, literally everything is free. Like, Pokemon Center is free. You know, going to the gym, staying at a hotel, like, everything's free for some reason. Like,
random people will let you stay in their house for free.
Yeah, so to have actual money being discussed in a world like Pokemon, it's totally normal in real life. You're like, okay, if you want my talent and service, then I need compensation. But in this world, it's like unheard of. And you're like, evil. How could you ask that? Money, ugh. We don't know exactly what price tag they agree on, because we cut over to Ash and friends. And Sheridan has recruited Ash to be Team Rocket's opponents in this demonstration battle to see like what his school is all about and the services he can offer. To start out, we have Brock versus Jamester, because
Kay.
James can't think of a better name than that. So Jamester uses Cacnea against Brock's Fortress, and Brock is doing well at first, but when it looks like Cacnea is down for the count, it's revitalized by the mysterious power of cheering. And everybody is super shocked when this actually works to help Cacnea get up and brush it off like nothing has happened. Max notices something nobody else notices. And we as the audience kind of figure out something's going on. It seems like he is having some underhanded stuff going on. He's cheating by having Pokemon use moves under the guise of cheering. Nobody else seems to notice this, though. Unfortunately, Fortress is knocked out, and James, and correct me if I'm wrong, is this the first ever time he's ever won against Brock in a battle?
I mean, Brock specifically? I have no idea.
I mean, I can't recall. I know we've had a lot of episodes, but I can't recall another time when James and Brock specifically battled and that James won.
Battle of the Eric Stewarts.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody else out there is like, you're wrong, this other episode had them battle together, like, let me know. But I think this is his, like, first win, even though it's technically illegitimate, but we don't know that yet. Max calls bullshit. He's like, what the hell? There's no way. And so he suspects some foul play and he goes off to investigate.
That was the part of this episode I liked.
When he goes off to investigate?
Yeah. If he disguises himself for no reason, very Detective Conan style.
He does remind me of Detective Conan.
Yeah, not the first time he's done this. Remember the Pelipper scam?
Max is the only person with a shred of common sense. Like, he spots this scam a mile away. He's like, cheering doesn't really work. The power of good vibes doesn't really work.
Mercury in retrograde doesn't affect you in any way.
Yeah. So he's like, I won't let this stand. But meanwhile, Ash is up next, and he's up against Jessica. And somehow, they still cannot tell that it's Team Rocket, even though it's Jamester and Jessica with a Cacnea and a Seviper. Max investigates further, and he overhears Sheridan talking into his little microphone and telling someone to use aromatherapy. And he's like, those are Pokemon moves. Turns out there are actually Pokemon hidden in these big Taiko drums, and they're using the moves over their little headsets that they're wearing, and I thought that was kind of funny.
I thought it was so disturbing, because wouldn't that affect the Pokemon in the Taiko drums that are, like, they're hearing or something? If you're in a drum and someone's drumming it, wouldn't that fuck you up?
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe they're noise-canceling headphones, and so, like, the actual drumming doesn't affect, but they can hear Sheridan talking. I don't know.
They're noise-canceling headphones. Oh, yeah, that is cute that they're all wearing headphone gear.
So in the drums are a Shroomish and a Makuhita that use Helping Hand, and then there is a Roselia and a Vileplume that use aromatherapy.
Notably, not a single one of those Pokemon has ear holes.
Oh, my God. Ear holes. So how are they hearing through the headset?
Good question.
Where are Vileplume's ear holes?
Where are Makuhita's ear holes?
I mean, Makuhita makes more sense than, like, the plants that seemingly are able to hear, but whatever.
Can plants hear in real life? Let's find out.
Actually, I think there is something to that because I think music can affect plants.
Oh, but is it the vibration?
I think.
Okay.
I think there's been studies. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure there is some relation between sound and plants. Anyway, this next part's really funny, and it's one of those visual gags that is more hilarious when you watch it than me saying it. Seviper is continuously used as this punching bag over and over and over again as these moves restore it to full health somehow.
That was the other good part of this episode, was the visual gag.
Yes. Pikachu would use Thunderbolt. It would get paralyzed, fall to the ground. Aromatherapy would heal it back to full health. Rinse and repeat.
At one point, Max says that he visually saw a spark of Helping Hand hit Cacnea. When they start using aromatherapy, we, the audience, see a big green cloud
yes.
of stuff envelop Seviper. Are the twerps not seeing that? Is that invisible to the human eye? And we're just getting, like, a visual signifier?
I don't know. That wouldn't be, like, in line with the continuity, though. Because, like, when they use regular moves on the battlefield, like aromatherapy, can't they see it?
Yeah, like in contest appeal specifically, they always see the effects.
Yeah, so I would assume a move equals effect. I don't know why for the purpose of this. I mean, obviously the episode has a plot, but I don't know why they can't see aromatherapy.
Or is it like an invisible woman turns invisible so she becomes dotted lines type effect?
So that we can see it, but that, like, the implication is that no one else can. I think it's just May, Brock, and Ash are helpless.
As are all the cheerleaders.
You know what? I will make a pass for the cheerleaders because when you are in that sort of very psychological manipulation, like, think about Jonestown or something. You can look back at that now from, like, an outside perspective and be like, how could these poor people have fallen for something like that? How could they have been persuaded to do something like that? And then they did. So I don't know. Maybe you get sucked into this idea and it's very powerful and they just don't see it. I don't know.
Okay. Cult psychology is so fascinating to me, and also I think one of the more terrifying aspects of human society.
Yeah.
Freaky as hell to me.
Look, my disclaimer is I'm not a psychologist, and I'm certainly not qualified to speak on this in any sort of logical or professional capacity, of course. But, I mean, it's a real thing, and it happens to people, so it could be something like that. You believe what you want to believe. I don't know. Anyway, Pikachu ends up exhausted because it's using moves over and over again, and everybody's shocked because they're like, how could this happen? How could this Seviper be so powerful? Max, on the other hand, is fed up. He's like, this is bull. And so he runs in and jumps and pushes the drums over.
Quite the display of violence. Like, it's like chaos.
I know. And these drums, like, we didn't say this before, but these giant drums are up on, like, what would you call it? Like, levels.
Rafters.
Yeah. So these are not, like, on the ground. Like, he pushes them over, and I'm assuming these are heavy. And there's, like, Pokemon in them, too. So it's very violent. They realize after that this is all a ruse and a scam, because the Pokemon, like, tumble out of the drums, and they're like, what's going on here? And this might be my favorite part of the whole episode. Brock chimes in after Max has exposed this. He's like, I thought there was something wrong here.
Shut the fuck up, Brock.
I know. I'm like, wait, when did you ever say anything to the effect of, hey, I think there's something going on? Never. Not once. He's so full of shit. Oh my god. Team Rocket at this point reveals themselves, abandons their whole popular Pokemon robot scheme. They were gonna, like, come in with a robot and steal the Pokemon. That didn't work. They end up capturing Pikachu, but are quickly defeated by a helping hand boosted Pikachu, and they blast off.
Man, I really want to go buy Plus One Minon merchandise now.
All right, so basically we're at the end. In my opinion, I think that Thatcher, maybe you have different thoughts on this, I think Thatcher learns the wrong message at the end of this thing, because he claims he was all wrong. He had it all backwards. Like, instead of being a cheerleader and a support person, he's like, you should be strong yourself and not rely on somebody else to cheer you on.
Yeah, what the fuck, Thatcher? You're such a stupid kid. That's not the lesson. The lesson is, don't be suckered in by con men.
I know. I'm like, wait. I think there's a lot more to be taken out of this than rely on yourself and only yourself. Like, I feel like that's a bad message.
No, that's, what?
Like, what is this teaching kids? Like, don't cheer your friends on and support them. You have to be strong and independent on your own and forget everybody else, because really true power comes from within you and nowhere else.
No, when a strange man with bad hair approaches you in the middle of a field, you don't go off with him and pay him money. That's the lesson to be taken here.
Yeah, maybe vet the science behind things. Maybe kind of do your research beforehand when it comes to that. But I think in a more philosophical sense, yes, you can find inner strength and you can become good at something or whatever. But you still should propagate good relationships with people and support your friends. Or if you don't know somebody, you know, offer them support regardless. Like, if somebody's struggling, like,
give a helping hand.
There's so many other ways you could have put a positive thing on this, but they didn't do that. I just want to say, let's all have empathy for each other. Let's all be supportive where we can. Like, you can rely on others if you're in a bad spot. Like, that's what I think we need to take from this.
No, Thatcher is a lost, confused child raised in the backwoods of Hoenn who is desperately seeking a father figure. And he is going around looking for any sort of reinforcement he can find as he's being taken advantage of and suffering through delusions. Like, he was hero worshiping the power of cheerleading the whole time. And then the moment the scam was exposed, he was like, Ash, you'll always be my true hero.
Yeah, he hasn't shaken the grip of his delusion, like, entirely.
And he never will.
He never will. Yeah, you're completely right. I think that was a perfect read. He's still in the grips of this, like, delusion, and he still proclaims Ash to be his true master, and Ash is like, what? No, that's not, no. I'm leaving now.
I think he ran away from Misty Village. I think Alyssa does not know where he is.
That's his sister, right?
Yeah, Margaret.
Oh my god. I mean, they weren't supportive to him in that episode, and we kind of saw his family dynamic where we talked about how they sort of just were like, you have an active imagination, Thatcher. That's really weird. they didn't really support him then, so I think you're right. I think he just sort of ran away and fell into a bad crowd.
You know what he would easily fall into? Is a crowd of people who either believe that we need more land or more ocean in the world.
Oh my god, could you imagine if we saw him later and he was under the spell of Team Aqua or Team Magma because he was looking for purpose somewhere and just found it in the wrong person?
See, that I would have accepted Thatcher coming back for.
Okay, I think, okay, my guess is if he did encounter Magma or Aqua, he would fall in with Magma because he lives in a landlocked place.
Oh.
Or maybe conversely, he's sick and tired of land and he's like, maybe we need more water. I don't know. What do you think?
No, he would fall for whichever one came up to him first.
That, okay, yep.
And they would convince him the other side was evil. He'd be like, yeah, I hate them, because he was told to.
Yeah, I think you're right. Thatcher is a poor, misguided soul. He needs some real help and a positive influence, but...
Good thing we never see him again.
Oh, good. So we don't get another part three of this.
Praise the Lord. Okay.
All right. Well, that's it. That is the end. That was something.
There. Flip. I guess I'm doing MVP first.
Go for it.
My MVP is Max, of course. Because he was so cute, and he wore a cheerleader disguise. Like, it was like an adult man's cheerleader outfit that he wore for no reason whatsoever to sneak around. And then he noticed something was off, and so he caused a huge scene of destruction, knocking down like 7 cheerleaders on the way. And
why did he even dress up? That nobody was paying attention to him anyway. Like, he was just sneaking behind the tent. I'm like, why did you go through the trouble of dressing up? Nobody cares. Like, what?
Nobody would not have recognized him as the kid in the glasses. I love Max. He's so extra.
I know.
He's got a little Team Rocket in him sometimes.
You have to admire the dedication to whatever he's doing. Like, he really goes all in.
LVP is going to be difficult. I'm going to give it to Brock for claiming that he knew something was wrong the whole time, but all he was actually doing was, like, trying to hit on those cheerleader girls.
He's a coattail rider.
My quote, we didn't really talk about this, but Sheridan runs away without anyone getting their money back, which I thought was really funny.
Oh, yeah, you had mentioned that. There were no consequences to his actions, and the grift continues somewhere else, I guess.
So Thatcher tells him when he's exposed, Master, everything you said was a lie? How could you? And a man says, we trusted you. And a lady says, we believed in you. And a second man says, and we paid you a lot of money, too. And then Sheridan says, well, about that money, gotta go. And he runs away saying, I'll send you a check.
That'll bounce.
Yes.
If he ever does. Also, would you know it? That's my only quote.
Okay, sorry.
Do you have another one I can take?
Let me see what I got.
Oh, shit.
This is not a very quote-heavy episode.
I know.
You alluded to this one before, so I'll give you that one.
Okay, well, is that, are you good for yours? Should I?
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh my god, I don't even know who to even give this to at all.
Cagney and James for winning?
Okay, you know what? I'm gonna give it to James, yes. Because I want to know more about his cheerleading days. And also he won. And he didn't have nearly as much help in his battle than Jesse did in hers. So, yes, he did cheat. Like, he did win by cheating. However, I don't think they knew that. I mean, Team Rocket, did they know that was part of the scam? Or...
I don't think they did.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think they were unwitting participants in this scam. And to James, I mean, it seemed like he won kind of, like, by the power of cheering. So, good for him. At least he can have his victory for the first time in 300 episodes. So, good job, James. God, who should my LVP be?
Thatcher, Sheridan.
I'm going to give it to Thatcher because he sucks.
Yep.
He learned all the wrong lessons, and I don't think there's any, like, hope for him. So I'm so sorry. My quote is this one that Austin has generously given to me. James says, did I hear him correctly? A cheerleading school? Meow says, yeah, but cheerleaders are stuck up. Jesse says, that's not necessarily true, Meowth. And then James continues, it's not true. I had a fabulous experience with my squad. And Jesse says, I heard you look great in your uniform. Yes.
I love the subversion that you think for sure Jesse's going to be the former cheerleader, but it's actually James.
I could kind of see them both having done that, but James makes sense. He's very jovial and bubbly, so.
I feel like Jesse would be a cheerleader for about 3 seconds before she, like, kicks someone in the face or something.
That sounds right. All right, thank God we're done with that.
Now for the other one, which I can't wait to hear your opinion on this one. Game-winning assist.
Great.
Let me flip the coin. Wait, no, we don't need to do that.
Why do we need to flip the coin?
No, I don't remember what we're doing. Okay, I'm timing you.
Yes. I mean, three, if you want two, me to do it, I don't think people want
three,
to hear me talk.
3, 2, 3, 2, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh my God. Okay, so we are thrust right into the events because we're being chased and running for our lives from a pack of angry slugma. The twerps' eco-terrorism streak continues. They blast a hole in the wall of the cave and ruin it. Meanwhile, they meet a girl named Julie, who's on the other side, because they ran into her Numble. She has a Numble farm. Numble shenanigans happens. Team Rocket has a big giant mecha Numble. May can't control her skitty. And
time.
She say, oh my God.
All right, I'm gonna rush through this one. Okay, as you said, we start out with action because the twerps are getting killed by some slugmas that are chasing them. I love how you can be chased by snails. Love it. Or no, slugs.
They were actually, like, moving pretty quick.
Those slugma were on the move.
They were on fire, if you will.
Hey.
Ew.
The twerps do what they do, which was cause destruction in places of nature, and they blow a hole in the side of the cave and escape through the side of the mountain and roll down the side of the mountain.
They're the worst.
Yeah, they do that. They learned it from Stephen Stone.
I did get that vibe.
At this point, we are told by the narrator that they were just on the fiery path. Which was a game location, by the way.
Yes.
But the anime hates caves, so they were only in it for about 3 seconds.
Let's be real. Would we have preferred a cave episode to whatever the hell we got? I mean, I don't know what the cave episode would have been.
I don't know. Numbles are lost in a cave and we gotta go find them? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
Anyway, now we're at the Numble farm. Skitty is a total terror in this episode. Runs up to a sleeping Numble and starts to beat the shit out of it. Or at least it's trying to. Because it's a cat and it's out of control.
I hate this thing. I'm so sorry.
It's not even, like, charming. And May is also done. She's done.
I know this isn't something that we would ever, ever, ever see from one of the main twerps. Because it's completely antithetical to, like, the whole lesson of Pokemon. We do see it from a character in one of the greatest animes ever. But we don't ever see a twerp release their Pokemon because they don't want to deal with it.
Not true.
Wait. A twerp?
Yes.
Wait, when?
But it's not. It's only for a short time.
Spoiler alert?
I'm going to write it.
Okay, all right. I don't remember this. Oh my gosh. I completely forgot about that.
One of our favorite anime characters.
Well, this is from the same series, Diamond and Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
So
Diamond and Pearl is the best anime series.
We love Diamond and Pearl. It's so good.
All right. First, we got to get through the goddamn Numble episode.
Sorry, I'm not trying. I know this is, like, terrible for the podcast. Like, you're like, well, what are you talking about?
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. Okay, I'm so sorry. All right, go on.
Okay, in the meantime, May is fucking tired of this city. She should not have caught it. She should have let it wear itself ragged in the wild somewhere. But it's here now. And the Numble does not care, and Numble ignores it because it's a gluttonous Numble that just wants to eat fruit. At which point, a girl and her Furret sheepdog run up. This is a nice little role for Furret. We hardly ever see it.
I know. I'm glad it wasn't like, I don't know. What else would be a good dog Pokemon at this point? Electrike? Manectric?
We've seen Growlithe. That's a sheepdog before.
Oh, I'm so done with Growlithe. Please get out of here.
I guess Houndour. But yeah, she has a Numble farm, and we all help her to herd up her Numble. She's like, you know, a young lady. Brock wants to fuck her. Her name is Julie, I believe. Is that right?
Yes.
And Julie is a weirdo because she's like, okay, children, why don't you spend the night at my house? And they're like, okay. And later we see she actually has a spare bedroom with two bunk beds, which was strange.
Okay, I kind of got the impression that this is a usual thing for her. Like, she always offers room and a stay to people coming out of Fiery Path, because she said, oh yeah, this is like old news to me. I always see people getting chased by Slugma out of Fiery Path, and I always like offer them a place to stay because they're on their way to Lava Ridge. Like, you guys must be on your way too. Like, she kind of, I think she, this is old news for her.
This happens every day.
Yeah, basically.
Someone needs to take care of those Slugma if they are doing this all the time.
You know, maybe somebody should post some sort of notice or something in the beginning of this cave and be like, caution, Slugma, please don't disturb or something. I don't know.
Maybe Julie takes down those signs because she wants people to come stay at her Numble Farm for the free labor, and probably because she's going to go through their pockets and steal their stuff while they're asleep.
Who is the girl from the early days that built the bridges that killed trainers?
Melanie.
Melanie, that murderer. She would take advantage of people and catch them in traps and kill them.
And then be like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you.
Melanie.
But you did it to yourself.
Yes. That lunatic.
This is for your own good. Oh, she kills you with a shovel. Okay.
Yes.
So, Julie, I had a lot of questions about Julie that actually kind of get answered. Because May wants to practice with Ash in a practice battle with her Skitty. Because her logic is, if nothing else, I can wear it out and make it tired. Which, like, okay, fair. But Julie walks up and she's like, don't battle him. Battle me, Julie. And I'm like, okay, Julie, whatever. And May battles her versus her ferret. And Skitty does not listen to a goddamn word she says. And runs itself ragged and loses to Ferret quite pitifully. In the middle of this, Julie says, May, I think you should check your Pokédex on Skitty and see if there's more about it that you don't know. So May does and learns that it has a move called Assist that she did not realize it had. And we learn that Skitty is able to use the Assist move, which somehow causes it to copy a move that another Pokemon on May's team has at random, which, whatever, it's a video game. Who cares about the logic of it? So we sit down with Julie while Brock and Max are preparing dinner or something. And we learn, by the way, Julie actually was an experienced Pokemon coordinator.
Oh.
That explains a lot. She retired, and I guess she moved to this Nello farm. They don't say why exactly, but she's the only one there, so we can draw some assumptions. It was probably like her family farm or something.
Or did she kill the previous owner of the farm and take over their livelihood?
That is very likely. She fed their bodies to the Slugma.
Yeah.
I want to know what exactly you get from farming Numble. What's the financial incentive from that?
Numble milk.
Ooh, maybe.
Like, what the? Yeah, oh my god, I didn't even consider. Oh my god, I hope it's not Numble meat.
Ooh, maybe. We don't know. Well, people have camel farms. What do you get from those? I guess you
milk?
Ride around on them.
Fur? No, Numbles don't have fur. Numble. Ooh, maybe Numble magma? How would you market that? That's dangerous.
Numble. Well, Team Rocket, meanwhile, is spying rocks on the twerps.
Anyway. I could go
Team
on.
Rocket. Team Rocket, meanwhile, is spying on the twerps, and we don't get a boss fantasy because James gives us a flashback to his childhood in which he had a whole team of Numble humidifiers or like space heaters or something in his bedroom.
Two things. One, I love how you are like, I'm moving the conversation on because if I don't, you could sit there and speculate all day. Fuck that.
We have been recording for a long time now, yes. And it's my computer battery is almost dead.
Yes. And then secondly, this Numble thing is some rich people shit.
Yes, which I thought we'd get more commentary on, but we don't.
I'm surprised like Jesse and Meowth weren't like, that is not how people live. It's not normal people stuff.
On the Mareep farm episode, didn't we learn that he got all of his clothing from Mareep wool? And they were like, you stupid little rich kid.
They have admonished him about his lifestyle before, but I don't recall specifically.
Yeah, this is very early Johto coded episode.
Yeah.
Right?
It was, yeah.
I wish we were at the Numble Village for the Numble Animal Festival for the Numble tournament, but sadly not.
The Great Numble.
The Great Numble.
Okay.
Well, we do get a Great Numble because Team Rocket appear in their Numble Mecha from Popular Pokemon Magazine.
Oh, I love it. It looks possessed.
And it has two giant handy-andies that it comes out of its back hole. And
back hole.
What would you call that thing? It's like a blowhole for steam.
Oh, God. Don't say that.
Okay, so the Handy Andys from the Nummel Hole kidnap all the Nummels and also May and Skitty. Oh, my God.
Okay, she did that to herself, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Skitty did it.
Yeah.
Let Giovanni have Skitty. I know. Get rid of the damn thing.
Okay, see, this was May's one opportunity, right? It could have either A, gotten crushed by the Nummelmobile. Okay, problem solved. Or two, it could have gotten swooped up with the Nummel. And also, again, problem solved.
The one time they let Team Rocket get away.
I know.
Fuck Julie and her Nummel. She had like a shit ton of Nummel too. There was like 30 of them.
I know. At first I thought she only had like 3 or 4. But then they just kept multiplying and there were more and more.
The Nummel are just hatching right and left.
Good Lord.
All the Nummels are in the Nummelmobile. And it is like a really extended sequence of like James or Meow activating the sprinklers and deactivating them. Like cooling down the Nummels so they can't escape. I don't give a shit. And eventually, Skitty uses the power of assist to wake the Nummels up, and they all escape, and we blast off Team Rocket, and that's it.
Okay.
Trainers!
Oh, my God. Did we forget the trainers from last episode?
Trainers! We're going to go back in time to the cheer episode now.
Guys, we did a
thing. I knew I was forgetting something.
I know. I was like, wait, I'm talking too much, and no interruptions.
I need like bold my notes when I do the trainer's choice so I never forget. Or like make it like red text or something.
Do a line break.
I can't even find it in my notes. Did I not take the note?
You were so enthralled with the episode Sheer Pressure that you completely forgot.
I really was. Okay, I found it. I found it.
Okay, go ahead.
Trainers. Which one of these Pokemon is the best to battle Shiftry, Swampert, Talo, or Torkoal?
Okay, hold on. Let's think critically. Shiftry is a dark and grass type, right?
Yes.
Okay. And our choices are Talo, which is a flying type. Torkoal is just a fire type, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Swampert.
Swampert is water ground.
Okay. I feel like there is some sort of answer here that we aren't seeing.
I already looked it up.
I'm going to guess Torkoal.
Trainers, if you chose Torkoal, you were right.
Yay!
However,
one in three chance.
I cross-referenced this on Wikipedia. Talo would be just as effective with flying versus grass. So this was an incorrect trainer's choice because there was multiple answers. Trainers, which one of these Pokemon is the best choice to challenge Kirlia? Togetic, Combusken, or Graveler?
Kirlia. Okay, Kirlia is a psychic type.
Pure psychic at this point.
And what are my options?
Togetic, Combusken, or Graveler?
Not Combusken. I don't know. Graveler?
Trainers, if you chose Combusken, you were right.
Wait. What? No.
That's wrong, because Combusken's weak to psychic. It has no advantage over Kirlia. But Ash in the trainer's choice said Combusken was the correct answer. The trainer's choice is over now. That segment's done.
Okay, sorry. I'm thinking way too much.
Combusken is not the better answer over Kirlia, or better against Kirlia, but Trainer's Choice said it was. Isn't that funny?
That's hilarious.
Okay, MVP, LVP, and Clo.
Oh, God. Oh, wait, are we done? Is that it?
What else do you have to say about this episode?
Oh, wait, did you, like, finish it? They, like, saved the Nummel?
They save the Nummel, they blast off Team Rocket, Julie says, okay, Mount Chimney's that way.
And oh, my like, God. I was like, wait, did we actually conclude this episode? Okay.
It was a really bad episode. Okay, you love Nummel.
I love Nummel. Guys, it's so cute. I had a flashback. I had a memory that was previously unremembered by me. I caught a shiny Nummel in Ruby. It was either Ruby or Sapphire back in the day. I don't have that save file anymore. I don't know what happened. I have no idea.
Battery died?
Maybe. RIP to that shiny Camerupt I had once upon a time.
Ooh, is it like black or something?
Yes, it's such a cool shiny. And I'm so sad that I lost it. It's gone. My heart is broken. I don't know what happened.
Okay, shiny Camerupt was cool. Shiny Nummel is boring.
It's blue instead of green.
Yeah, it's like the same. I hate that.
But Camerupt.
So you like Nummel. I like Nummel too. I think it's cute. This episode.
It's not good. Not a good Nummel episode. Mm-mm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a problem with, like, Nummel or any of that. I just think it's a boring episode. Like, nothing really happened. Anyway, okay, MVP, LVP quote.
Flip. I'm going first again.
Okay.
MVP. James for his Numble space heaters. That sounds nice. Actually, it sounds really MVP? Unpleasant. It sounds really miserable. Yeah.
It sounds like the fucking class disconnect that we're currently experiencing in real life.
Okay, fine. James does not get MVP. who does then? The Slugma for protecting their territory?
Sure.
No, I don't like that answer. The Numble.
Julie for, like, saying, hey, why don't you utilize the tools at your disposal and actually think for once? I don't know.
There's no good answer for this.
Trainer's choice for being
trainer's
so...
No, Trainer's choice gets, like, LVP for this episode.
But it's so entertaining.
Oh, man. MVP. I'm going to give it to Alex because she likes Numble so much. And oh, she got a shiny Numble.
Yay!
And my LVP will be Skitty because it's awful.
Truly.
My quote? I'm going to give it to the Numble.
The quotes to the Numble? What?
Yeah, because the Numble has a cute voice. I like how it goes, num, 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 num.
I totally missed that, but I will agree. Num. It is cute.
Let me pull it up.
Are you kidding me? Is there really a clip?
I'm going to pull one up.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to make a clip.
Okay. Wow.
You know, I could just use a normal quote and not have to go through this process.
Yeah, well, you always put some weird self-imposed challenges on yourself for some reason. Skitty can use assist to pull off Ember Attack. Okay, Skitty, use assist.
No, not that. That was Gust Attack. Okay, try assist one more time.
Whoa.
I like the voice.
Okay, you've sold me on it. It's cute. And I like the idea of a grown man just in the recording booth going, nom 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 nom.
Nom nom nom.
Oh, God. That was great. Okay.
I am really losing it today. I have not had a single bite to eat, and I'm like feeling really loopy.
Guys, we had about a 45-minute pre-recording that we did before this, and this episode has been going on for an hour and 40 minutes.
Shit, fuck me. Okay.
My MVP is...
Fuck me in the numble hole.
Oh, whoa. I did say this was E for explicit, right? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. My MVP... I've completely lost my train of thought. May. May is my MVP. Why, you ask? Because
I do.
May is a superhuman person because she was trapped inside the Numble hole in a metal. This is a metal construct, by the way. And the Numbles were using their flamethrower. And it had to have been like 20,000 degrees in there. And somehow she was completely fine. She has the skin of like a NASA space shuttle or something. She was totally fine. Had no ill effects at all. Meanwhile, Team Rocket was, like, burning down to the ground. But I was like, wow, she's, like a mutant person. She has powers. I don't know.
May is not a human.
She's not. My LVP, ooh. I guess I'm gonna give it to Ash, like I always do.
What do you do now?
He's an eco-terrorist.
Oh, right. Yeah, fair.
He busted a hole in the wall of the cave. He ruined the Slugma... home. I mean, God only knows what the cascading implications of them busting a hole in the wall is going to be. So I wish they would stop destroying habitats. They should really just leave things how they found them.
Duford Island has been completely destroyed by their efforts at this point.
I know. It's a totally different ecosystem now. They've ruined it. My quote is the only one I have because, like Austin said, these two episodes were horrible for quotes this time. So this is the only one I have. I'm sorry. I know it's bad. Meowth says, ah, yes, the life we always dreamt of. We're on our way to Easy Street. And James replies, and I heard they have all the flavors of ice cream you could ever want on every corner. Yeah. Sorry.
Poor kids is trying. They're trying, but you can only do so much.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Anyway, that's it. We have done the impossible. We talked about these two episodes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Next week.
Next
we
episode.
Have,
ooh, next yes. week is one episode. Episode.
Just one.
Fight for the meteorite.
Fight for the meteorite.
Yeah.
I don't recall. Oh, wait. This is inside Mount Chimney.
Professor Cosmo.
Okay, I do remember. Ooh, is this a Lunatone and or Soul Rock episode?
No, it is not.
Aw, I was hopeful for 1 second. But Professor Cosmo shows up. I wonder what kind of episode it'll be then. That's fun. Look forward to that. We'll see what we come up with.
Sorry, I'm totally loony today.
Okay, yeah. We're going to wrap things here. Any final thoughts? I don't think so.
That's a really nice numble hole you got there.
Thanks. I take pride in my numble hole.
Send me a pic.
Guys, we thank you so much for listening. We're glad to be back after our little break. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so. We have our Gmail account, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Please leave us a comment. We love it. We also have our social media accounts. We have a Blue Sky and an Instagram. You can always reach out to us there as well. It is at @outofthedryingpan handle for both. We also have a Patreon. It might not seem like it, but we do work really hard on this podcast, and we appreciate the support wherever we can get it. We have all kinds of cool bonus content on there, so please check it out. We would really appreciate it. And as always, we like to say thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next week as the journey continues.